Okay.
Good morning, y'all. Thanks for coming. This morning, we are talking about technology and our kids and parenting and just a few reminders as we kick it off. We had talked last time about that God has chosen us to be the parents and the kids that are in our homes. And so already that means he has given us what we need. He has picked us for this role. And because we are kids of God, we can walk in confidence in that. And the point of these classes are to help equip. They're to help, one, remind us of who we are, because I know I need reminding all the time, especially in those intense parenting moments. And then also, it is to, especially this week with technology, is to kind of let you know about some new things that are out there in the world of social media, YouTube, all that kind of stuff, gaming, and then to kind of share some other thoughts on it. So we talked last time about how we as believers define purity, and purity is a state of being. It's who we are because we're children of God. So you are pure because God made you pure. It is not based on what you do or how you feel. It is actually just who you are as a child of God. And so knowing that and talking about these things where pornography comes into play, where there can be enemies online, knowing that your purity is based in who you are and not what you see or how you respond or how you choose to behave, but it's actually an identity statement. And knowing that you're pure because God made you pure, then how do you want to live? And so next month in kids and youth ministry here at Grace Life, we will be talking more about that on Sunday mornings, that you are pure because God made you pure. So what does that look like in the way that you live? And this morning we're talking about that in relationship to technology. So a few things that I'm hoping you, when you walk away today, that you will, not have any shame or guilt or overwhelmness, but that this morning you will feel encouraged and equipped, to walk out of here with that. Okay. Also, we are going to touch on the internet, cell phones, gaming, social media, YouTube, computers. But know this, there is so much in the world of technology, good and bad. And so if there's like a question that you came with this morning that you're like, this is what I want to talk about, please don't hesitate to raise your hand and let's talk about it. Okay, this morning we want to, my husband Scott's here, he works in the world of technology, he spends probably over 8 hours a day in front of a computer for work. And so he has lots of time that he's in this world of technology and learning how to manage that when you get paid to be in it. And then Kayla's here as well. She hangs out with all of our middle school and high schoolers. So she has a lot of cell phone in your face experience and other types of teenager. Oh, hey.
Hi.
You're sitting so close.
I figured most people don't want to sit in the front, so I'm going to sit in
the back. So.
More opportunity.
No, I love it. Thank you. So engaging.
So
that is why we're here this morning and what we're going to do. Okay, so let's get started. I want us to talk this morning in the world of technology about two words, and those are mentoring and monitoring. And as we parent in the realm of technology, mentoring and monitoring are kind of the two words to consider in the front of your mind. One is monitoring, which Scott's going to talk to us a lot more about. Yes, having filters and protection in our home and time limits and filters to protect when searching and all that kind of stuff is super important. And Scott's going to talk to you about that. Here is my, which it's fun that Scott and I are married because he is so the monitoring and I am so the mentoring type. And so it's a fun, like, dynamic where Scott can be like, okay, we're going to have all these filters in our house is, like, tech crazy. Like, our garage just closes at a certain time. Our lights turn on. Our lights, Scott will, like, say, shut it down at night, and, like, all the lights turn off in our house. It is, like, tech crazy. Whereas I'm like, I don't even know how to turn the light on in the house. And so he is really good at talking about monitoring. But the monitoring would not matter if he wasn't also having conversations with our kids, if he wasn't also mentoring them. Because the truth is, there's going to be new technology. There's going to be new things that come out. And so the mentoring part of it is so important. And the monitoring will not work if the mentoring is not also in place. And so just know that this morning, that hopefully you'll walk away with a key way of maybe like, hey, we can include this monitoring in our house, but if you're not mentoring, it won't have the effect that it needs to have. Okay, there is a definition of maturity that was shared with me a few years ago by a lady named Janet Newberry. She's been to Grace Life before. Some of you may follow her on social media. She has this definition of maturity that says maturity is knowing when to ask for help. And so one of the biggest questions that I get is my kid old enough for a cell phone? Can I let my kid start gaming with other people online? Can I let my kid have a computer in their room? And
is the answer always no? That's the easy.
Always. Just absolutely not. No. And a lot of times what comes up is the word maturity. Is my kid mature enough? Is my kid ready? When should, just tell me, Emily, when can I give my kid a cell phone? At first I'm like, whoa. You're the parent. You decide that for your family. But one of the big things is your kid mature enough? Well, does your kid know when to ask for help? The definition of maturity is knowing when to ask for help. And so, like, in our house, one of the things that we talk about is, like, hey, if you want that level of maturity, whatever that is, your own room, your ability to go ride your bike down the street without us watching, we need to see the maturity in you that you know when to ask for help. And so that is a good gauge to knowing if your child is ready to take the next step in whatever form of technology. So we are cool with YouTube at our house. We have lots of filters set. We do let our kids watch YouTube. And there have been times where it's been like, hey, do you think maybe that would have been a good place to stop or asked for help in that moment, and it's led to some great conversations. And we've taken it away, and our kids have melted to the ground that we are the worst parents to ever walk the planet. How could we do that? You know, my youngest child, I had three super quick, and so by the time the third one came, I'm a total one of those people that's like, oh, that baby, they get to do whatever they want. Okay, it's not that extreme, but I do let my baby get on my phone because sometimes I'm not going to survive Target, I feel like, if she's not on the phone in the buggy. I'm sure y'all see me in there and you're like, okay, I'm going to get it, you know? And so please don't in any way hear that Scott or I are saying that we are the best at keeping technology safe and with our kids. There are definitely times where we let the phone babysit to breathe for a second. And so please know that, and know that there have been technology mistakes made in our own home. Pre-COVID, it was one of the biggest safety things that was mentioned by all tech gurus was not having computers in your bedroom. Well, then COVID hit. And it was like, okay, how do we do this? How do we have all these kids at home, in front of computers for school, all in the same room? What do we, and so it really gave parents who were big with technology safety a chance to like legit live it out. And so there were definitely days where it was like, okay, y'all, you have to go to your bedroom. Like they may call Child Protective Services if one of you does not separate from the other one for moments. And so learning how to, in those moments when we have all the monitoring set up, that the mentoring really came to a big play in those moments. Those times of teaching your kid what is okay to look at, what is not okay, what's acceptable. And Scott's going to get some more into that too, with that. Okay, a few practical things that I want to share with you is, and I think these are super significant in helping you as you parent through the age of technology. One is the mentoring and the monitoring. Also, not if my kids ever come across something, or if my kids ever see porn, or if my kids ever have an unhealthy relationship with technology, but when. You guys, that's just the world that we're in. Technology is everywhere. And so when my kid comes across pornography, when my kid spends too many hours in front of the computer or on the phone or gaming, how do we parent in those moments? And here's one of the like beautiful things that God did for kids is he gave them 18 years to be in a family with adults to protect them and to start to make life choices as teenagers, right? Because their brain starts to think like, I'm an adult, right? Even my 7-year-old will be like, I'm almost 8. Like, Mom, please. You know, I'm like, I can just see her as she's 16. I'm like, you have no clue. And what's so cool is that God has given these kids adults in their life to let them begin to make some adult choices and have us as their protection in those moments. And so, starting at a young age and definitely into teenage years, encouraging face-to-face interaction. Talking about the importance of putting the phone down, looking at you, speaking to you, when you, maybe you are a family that likes to have, let kids have cell phones at the restaurant, making the choice to say, hey, let's wait till we get to the table. Like as we walk through the restaurant, we're going to look up, we're going to speak, we're going to talk to the waiter, just encouraging face-to-face interaction. Also, if your kid is a gamer online, or you're a gamer online, they are so fun. That games online can be great, but encouraging other hobbies that aren't involved with technology. So that just kind of helps, especially as they get into teenage years, to not just have to say, get off of the phone, get off of the game, get off the computer, but to say instead, hey, let's go do that thing that you love. Hey, let's go do that activity that you spent a lot of time on. It just gives you an easier way to engage instead of just, no, like you can't be on here anymore. We're setting a time limit. Instead being like, hey, I know that you love to do this. Like, let's go do that. And investing your time and your finances into those activities that your kids love that don't involve screens. Video games are super expensive and they can be really fun. But if we're spending our money on those other hobbies that our kids love and not as much in the gaming, it will hopefully kind of help them as they grow up to set a little bit better boundaries for themselves. Okay, while your kid is consuming online content, so there's two things about online. You can be a consumer or you can be a creator. I am like most of the time a consumer. Like I can just sit there and like swipe and just consume. Because of my job, I've become a creator of content, right? Like I'm online sometimes doing silly things, but like personally, I'm just such a consumer. Like I just take it in. So as your kids, in elementary, preschool, into middle school, until they get their own personal device, they are most likely mainly just a consumer. Now, there are elementary kids that have YouTube channels and all that kind of thing, but the consumer part of your kid, talking with them in those situations of, what are you seeing on there? What is it that you like about that? Like, one of the things we love are funny cat videos. I mean, cats are crazy. And those videos on TikTok of cats, I'm like, these are hilarious. And we are major consumers of funny cat videos at our house. And even in those moments, like, we talk about it, right? Like, what made it funny? There's been quite a few where a cuss words popped up in the middle of it. And we're like, why do they think that's funny? What about that makes this video funnier, right? Why is that a funny thing? We've seen a cat get hurt. Why did they think that was funny? Why did they label that as a funny cat video that would then pop up? just helping our kids to begin to think through, why are they watching what they're watching? Why are they consuming what they're consuming? I also have one that's super into makeup. She loves to watch makeup tutorials. And I'm like, what is it about it? I've learned a ton from social media. Our oldest child is adopted. We had no kids in our home before this. It literally went from like no parents to being a parent literally overnight. We didn't have a baby shower. We had like nothing in our home. And y'all, YouTube like taught me so much parenting. I'm like, I don't know how to mix formula. And you're so tired in the middle of the night. I mean, YouTube is fantastic. It can be super helpful. But we're also adults, and we can think through, what are we consuming and why are we consuming it? And even as an adult, I don't know about you guys, but there are plenty of times where I'm like, I just wasted 3 hours of my life. What did I even just do on here as I was scrolling? So talking with our kids about what they're consuming and why they choose to do that. When you feel like they are at that maturity point where they know when to ask for help, Scott, I don't want to take all your time. I'm about to stop. When your kid's at that point to become a creator and not just a consumer, starting out kind of slow with it. You know, pick one app. Pick one social media site that you're like, hey, we can get on this one. And then start with only following friends. There are so many famous people online now, and some are awesome to follow. Most of the clothes that I buy now are ones that I've seen influencers wear on Instagram, you know? So if you're wondering where my fashion's from.
It's for me, obviously.
Yeah, we're just dressed the same 2 days in a row.
We're dressed the same 2 days in a row.
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing. So when your kid becomes a creator, and as they get a cell phone or get on online gaming, start in one place. Don't feel like they have to be just opened up to the whole world of it all. Then before they start following a famous person, or really anybody that's outside of your like normal day-to-day people that they have face-to-face contact with, talk about it. There are a lot of cell phone agreements out there. This is what I would say about cell phone contracts. They can be really helpful for helping you set up expectations. So that when you get in those moments where you're like, hey buddy, like this is what we agreed upon. And y'all, teenagers are like really good negotiators most of the time. And they catch you in moments where you're like, well, what I meant was that and so having an agreement may be really helpful if you have a child like that like is able to remember the exact wording that you use, or they think they remember that exact wording, and you're like, I don't know what I said 5 minutes ago. Like, I've lived a lot of life since we discussed cell phones. Sometimes having these can really help. There are quite a few online that are editable. There's two that I really like. One is this writer. Her name's Monica Swanson. She wrote this book called Boy Mom. It's actually great for boy dads. I have no boys in the house besides my husband. And this book has been amazing, even parenting girls. She writes so well. She is a Christian. And she talks about that God is where she parents from. But this book could even be given to non-Christians, the way that it is written. And she has so many online resources. And one of them is a contract that you can edit to fit what works for your family. So I totally recommend it. The other one is Josh Shipp's book, The Grown-Up Guide to Teenage Humans. This is like my teenage reference book. I feel like he covers like, look at all my notes. This is on one page. I have pulled this book out so many times with kids, and he has a great cell phone contract and way to go about. He even gives you, which this is genius, he gives you like a script. Like, hey, if you need this, sit down with your kid. Say this. Your child will respond in one of four ways. However they respond, say this. I'm like, this is genius. This is so helpful in those moments. Okay, so mentoring and monitoring. Scott's about to get into monitoring. You guys, this is the takeaway. Helping our kids meet their needs nowhere in technology is going to be our biggest benefit. Our kids' needs are this: to know that they're loved, to know that they're accepted, and to know that they're validated. If we are meeting our kids' needs and knowing they're accepted, they're loved, and they're validated, it is going to make the technology in your home so much easier to manage. Those are our three biggest things as parents. Our kids need to know they're loved, they're accepted, and they're validated. That is what everyone on social media is doing. When I post on social media, even for my job or personally, it's, hey, I'm here, right? Like, notice that we're here. Validate, like, do you agree with what we're saying that Jesus says about you, or how awesome our kids' ministry was on Sunday morning? Like, look at these great pictures, right? We are wanting to be loved, accepted, and validated. And if our kids are getting that at home, and they know that they can ask you anything without fear of rejection or consequences, and if they know that they are mature enough to know when to ask for help, and getting validated, loved, and accepted, the technology conversations will go so much easier. Okay, Kayla, do you have anything to add to that before we give it over to Scott and all his practical?
You want to share about, like, the youth?
Yeah, great.
Okay. Yeah, we are like the double men twins today. We dressed like yesterday, too.
Look at us. So, I mean, even our shoes are just
how
so
ridiculous
embarrassing.
Yeah, so as Emily said, even just, so obviously I deal in the world of all things middle school and high school. And so there is no question that the demands of parenting the generation of teenagers in the world of social media is interesting. And it is fast changing. It is fast changing. So while YouTube might be something for younger kids, YouTube is not something of the world with older kids. It is Snapchat. It is Instagram. It's not even Facebook really anymore. So even Emily and I were just talking just a few minutes ago that the culture that we live in right now is so fast changing. And so I always try to encourage parents, like, never say never. Never say never that you'll never give your kid a cell phone. Never say never that they'll never be on social media. But hey, have open conversations with them. Have open conversations with them, because this is the way that they communicate these days too. And so we want to be encouraging, we want to be uplifting, because as soon as we hit the world of COVID and that pandemic, even for us, our ministry world moved online. That's how we were reaching, and that's how we were offering all of our ministry was online. And so whether it was through Facebook, whether it was through Instagram, all of those things. And so that's how we were connecting with kids when we were all at home. And so also, it's the way that we've noticed that, hey, we want kids to be connected, right? And so there's definitely some pros and cons of social media, right? And so my biggest encouragement to parents is to always have open conversations with your kids about it. Be in tune to what's happening. Be in tune to how the culture is always shifting and changing. We have video games in the youth room. We are updating video games. Obviously, we have Wii's in there. We have a PS5 in there. So we're in tune to what's happening culturally with teens and what they want. And so it doesn't mean that they're always open and available, because we also want to have games that are not just a one-on-one game. We want to have games that are fit for folks to play together. There's no, like, communication or chat or stuff like that. But just like anything else that's in this world, social media can be both constructive and destructive, right? And so my encouragement is that we want to focus on the ways that we can monitor the things that can be constructive. And so when we were talking about just the COVID era, and we moved everything, all of our ministry from Grace Life Kids, Grace Life Youth, everything was on social media. We wanted that to be uplifting, and we wanted it to be constructive. And so that was the way that we were really able to continue to move forward our social media platform. And that was the way we were able to really continue to connect with all of our age groups, from Grace Life Kids all the way through 12th grade. And so I just want to continue to encourage parents that check in on your kids. If they have social media and you're starting to open that door to cell phones, to laptops, to tablets. Open that door, have those conversations with them. And just be mindful of what they're being introduced to. So as much as they're introduced to stuff on social media, they're introduced to those things at school, they're introduced to those things on the buses, they're introduced to those things at a friend's house, they're introduced to those things at recess. So we want to be mindful that, hey, we are here for you. That is one of the greatest things about this church, is that we want to equip and empower you from a place of knowing that you have the Spirit living inside of you. You have all the tools to love and go and be the parents that you have been entrusted to go and love those kids with. And that's what we love to do. As weighty as social media feels, I know sometimes when parents come to me and talk to me about social media, it's like this weighty conversation. I'm like, no, let's change the posture. Let's change the posture of it. Because it is a hard conversation to have when you start opening the door to social media and video games and all the things that come with it. But let's change the posture of it, coming from a place of those things are there, yes. But I will also say, for me personally, like, hey, they can be life-saving devices too. So I have epilepsy, so on my watch, like, it can trigger if I'm having a seizure. Emily has diabetes, it can trigger if she's having a diabetic shock. So there are definitely things that are life-saving devices about the things that we carry around with us as well. The same thing for cell phones and stuff like that as well. So we look at the negative things, and those things are there. Those things are there. We can call 911 so fast on our cell phone, where 5 years ago, a year ago, that wasn't the case. So as much as culture is changing and shifting, so is the technology that we're living in. And so I always say, like, hey, let's work with the generation that we're in. Don't work against the generation. And so the way that even my parents raised my sister and I, we're not even a year apart, I'm 39. So the way that my parents raised us was bag phones, flip phones, is not the same way that y'all are raising kids now. So we can't expect that kids are going to be raised the same way, because generationally everything is shifting and changing. So we need to work with the generation and not against the generation. Be in tune to what's happening, be in tune to the culture, be in tune to what is being offered, and that's what Scott's going to get into now. And have conversations with your kids. Ask really great questions of your kids, and allow your kids to ask questions of you as well. And, oh, this is what I was going to say to you. You wanted me to say this. Even from the youth standpoint, all youth leaders, they sign a contract when it comes to social media. So to be a youth leader, they sign a contract. So in some of those things, it looks like while it is their personal social media account, it is monitored, meaning, hey, they do not go friend a kid. A kid can friend them. They do not friend a kid. They are not privately DMing kids. They are not posting political things. They are not posting anything that would be, what's the word I'm like looking for?
Divisive.
They're not posting anything of question. So when you become a youth leader, there are definitely some pretty significant stipulations that come along with being a youth leader. And they sign the social media contract, and it's on file. And so if I ever have to go back and say, hey, let's have this conversation. Hey, I want to remind you of this contract that you signed to become a youth leader. Because again, youth kids, youth parents are following, and vice versa. So just know that these things are in place so that we can help, you know, curtail all of these things that kind of come in play. Because social media is out for the world to see. And so while I do understand that it is a personal social media platform, we definitely want to be mindful of who and what and how things are being posted.
And we
signed it as a staff as well. We signed it as a staff as well. So I'm like, I don't get too ripped who you voted for, who you're going to vote for. I don't care anything that's going to be divisive. Hey, kids and parents, they don't need to see that on your social media platform. We want it to be really uplifting and encouraging. Leaders are not friending kids. Now, a kid can friend a leader, but there's no, you know, you're not sliding into anyone's DMs. We're not doing any of that. We really monitor those things when it comes to the youth leader standpoint. So, yeah.
Thanks.
Forgot to mention.
All right, Scott.
Okay.
Yay, Kayla.
Good job.
A couple things.
Yeah, we took all your time.
It's not going to take too long. want to follow up though on some of the things Emily said about, and she basically has this mindset. She just didn't say it the way I like it. I'm repeating it in a way that it's for me. It makes so much sense and it just resonates with me. But it's because it's exactly what she's saying. But it's whenever you're looking at content online, instead of mindlessly consuming it, we're mindfully critiquing it. So just I mean, she said some of the same kind of concepts, but I just love that phrase. Instead of mindlessly consuming, we're mindfully critiquing. And I heard that many years ago, and so it's just stuck with me. And I wanted to put that out there. And then on what you were saying, the theme that I heard from Kayla was things are constantly shifting, right? They're always changing. And so I've taken the approach of, instead of going into super details and specifics, I'm trying to kind of teach you how to fish instead of giving you fish. And so I have some sample tools that I will reference, and they'll be on the blog, so you don't have to write all the specific ones down because that could get lengthy. But I guess on the concept of the filtering and monitoring, a lot of times it can create a false sense of security, but at the same time, it's a great place to start. Having the ability to know that there are tools out there that can restrict content, but it can never restrict all the content, right? And monitoring, it depends on which tool you're using to monitor. But sometimes that monitoring can, be deleted. So there's a few tools that have had some good reviews, and one of them is called Custito. I'm not an expert in all these tools, and actually I've only used Circle, but it's been a couple of years now. But now I'll get to that one too. But these are all most of them have, I guess, Circle and Custito and Bark. Those are the three that I've gotten really high reviews. And Circle and Bark they have this hardware device that you plug into your router, devices that are in your home, and it allows you to identify all the devices that are on the network, and then you can say, look, this device is this person, this device is this person, this device is family, and then kind of set time limits or content filtering. So there's those kind of tools that are out there. It takes a little bit of time to try to figure them out, and so that's what I'm saying is I'm not going to teach that in every specific one. There's just not enough time today. But to be aware, but these tools are out there, and the ones that I mentioned are just a good place to start. And some other ones are some common antivirus that have been around for years, like Morphine and Kaspersky, I can never pronounce that right. But those are two that have a very good reputation, long history, and they have some good products. The next kind of tool in our tool belt is knowing the devices that your kids use. So our kids, for instance, we have two switches, Nintendo switches. And so they have a complimentary iPhone app that you can use to control how many hours per day and what time it shuts off. That's exactly what we've done for them. And it varies from season to season, but for school time, they don't have the opportunity most days to even use it, but there's a max amount of hours per day. And so sometimes on Saturday, they'll hit the 3 hour, 4 hour threshold. The point I'm making though is to be intentional about the devices you have and research those, because there's so many. There's Wii's and tablets and all of them, virtually all of them. That's one thing that the tech industry has started to embrace, is having the tools for the parents to have the ability to set some limits. And even Apple, especially Apple, I feel like they've done a really good job. They have the scheduled downtime for locks the device. You can block I mean, and you can do a lot of the filtering on there as well. You can even set up to, like, they can only have use this app, and that's it. And so it just, there's a lot of different ways to configure it. One thing that's everywhere that many parents or users of computers don't even realize, but in your browser that you use, you know, like Chrome or Safari or Firefox, whatever, or they have a history of all the websites you go to. And those can be deleted. That's what I was mentioning earlier. But it's a good. Whenever I was in high school and the internet had basically just came out, my dad used that approach to me, and I was at a high school I didn't know it all, but didn't realize that I could just delete those history. But it was enough for me having the back of my mind like, oh, he knows what I'm doing on this. So, and that kind of goes back to what Emily was saying is the mentoring. Like it's got to start there. Otherwise, the enforcement of what it's got to start from the base of the relationship. But knowing that that all those tools are available to you is of course extremely helpful. We also had when COVID hit, we bought Chromebooks, which are little small laptops that the kids use for connecting to school. And Google owns the Chrome OS operating system, and they have an iPhone app called Family Link that it does the same kind of thing, where you can configure the computer is going to shut off at 7 p.m. or after 5 hours. Now we had to change that because of the school day, and we used it all day, we had to change that to like 8 hours. So they have these tools available. It's just a matter of doing some digging and some research and finding them, and knowing that those that they're available. We don't have a PlayStation, but I'm fairly certain PlayStation. I don't know if anybody has a PlayStation, but they have some same kind of family management tools. So just the important thing is, whatever device your kids use, your family uses, research it. Don't just like you got to have like I was saying too is let's not mindlessly consume, but let's mindlessly critique, and that's not just content, but just kind of the whole environment. One resource I've used a lot is a book by Andy Crouch called TechWise Family. We went through it. Juan helped a couple years ago, but it's and the author Andy Crouch. He's written a few other books, Culture Making, and I can't remember his other ones, but. He's a believer. He's not necessarily a new covenant, but still has some great ideas, and some of them are a little maybe a little extreme. Like he says, we aim for no screens until double digits, until the kids reach 10. And nowadays it just isn't possible. And the book's not that old, but anyway, it's being intentional about really how much screen time, how much technology usage they're really, really getting. And one of the concepts that he talks in his book is about nudges and how all the little dings that we get on our phone, like those nudges are there for using them more. What nudges are we putting in place for using other things as well? So, and it goes along with the example he mentioned was you can't eat a salad at home if you don't like first buy lettuce. You know what I mean? Like, so set up ways where you can have nudges of like, if what kind of activities we want to be involved in? Well, do we want to be, creating art or painting or something like? Well, let's get some art supplies. You know what I mean? Like, if we want to have some dedicated time to play family board games, we'll make sure we have the board games and say like, okay, this is gonna be game night. It's being intentional about and creating those nudges so that when the kids say I'm bored, they have some like reference of like what to do then, and instead of just sitting down and turning on Disney Plus. One of the things he also talks about, and this is becoming more, like Emily mentioned too, but no device is any better, and it's difficult now with so many, but having the approach of like at least a charging station. So like all the devices we have, I try and keep them in one place, not in the bedroom, so that's where they charge. And most nights, our girls, they don't even really need them now because they don't have school at home. But nonetheless, I try to keep that. So one of the things that Andy Crouch too says that you can't change culture, you can create culture. And so that kind of goes back to, what kind of activities do we want to do as a family? Let's create the culture that fosters those activities, kind of deal. Let's see. So I'm going to kind of wrap up. The last few points I have, it's really easy to focus on some of the negative aspects of social media, and we want to be mindful, too, of there's plenty of good that come out of it. There's, have y'all ever seen the Netflix documentary called Social Dilemma? So I've never actually watched it, but I do want to. But I haven't had Netflix for like a year. I just was like, I'm done with Netflix for a while. I missed it too much, but I do want to watch that. Anyway, but the point of it
we watch TV though.
We do watch TV.
Just not Netflix.
The main point of the social limit is like the discussion around what kind of impact social media is having on our life, and especially on the kids. The social isolation and the depression and the anxiety and other mental health issues that has like tracked along with the introduction of social media. One of the stats is 8th graders who spend over 10 hours on social media per week are 56% more likely to report being unhappy than those who spend less time on social media. So just, I feel like for me, it's really easy to be like, okay, well then I'm done with social media. Like I just, because I can sit down and 2 hours later, like, what just happened? And so I can only imagine me as an adult who has some willpower, give a social media app to a 12, 13, 14 year old, and it destroys the fabric of our society. I feel like it's a bit extreme, but we just need to be as parents thinking about things and realizing that there it's not always good that comes out of it. There can be, and there's plenty of it, but. Just to have that put on the forefront of our mind. There's a podcast I listen to called Your Undivided Attention, and one of the hosts is Asa Raskin, and he was the inventor of the infinite scroll user experience, and he deeply regrets creating that. And the podcast goes through. There's a lot of different various, it's not a Christian focused podcast thing, but a lot of the tech creators and kind of like why they're choosing to not use social media, not introduce their kids to it. And so just, I'm not saying that that's the way to go, but it's something worth considering that no matter what limits you set, no matter what filters you set, it's more important to be having the conversations and talking through those things with the kids rather than depending on those filters. They're a good place to start, So,
thanks.
Is there anybody any questions?
Yeah, that was going to be my next thing for y'all. Does anybody have any questions? Usually those are for Scott, not me. But then he'll be around after if you want to talk about anything more about it. This is a resource page of just lots of filtering, not just filtering a few I wanted to point out, which this sheet will be on the blog too, but the Common Sense Media, that one is really good for telling you like what apps are popular right now. When we started doing this tech seminar, gosh, probably like 12 years ago. No, I did it even before we were married. So 15 years, 20 years ago, we used to do it on like, okay, here's what's trending right now. They're so different. And so sites like that, Common Sense Media, Access, those are websites that can really help you know like the current popular things that are trending right now within social media and technology and gaming and all that. There's also a site that's not on here called Protect Young Eyes that is fantastic. And they have a staff there. I've actually emailed them a few times in the past few months, and they always responded within 24 hours and will like to answer questions. Like, I have a friend that asked them recently, what cell phone do you recommend as a first cell phone? And they gave them a suggestion of a phone and why they recommend it. And so anyway, Protect Young Eyes. It's not on the sheet. It's really good. Also, protecting your kids, not just in the sense of, which is super important, but mental health and anxiety, but also protecting them from online predators and from pornography. This book, Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, there's a junior version for younger kids and then a not junior version for older kids. This really helps to introduce your kids to when, not if, they come across inappropriate things online, and gives them tools on how to handle. And you read the book with the kid, and so it kind of helps the two of you be like, hey, okay, so if you see this and you respond this way, then I know that this is what's happening. So I really recommend this book. It's great. Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. And then as far as bullying and predators online, you guys, it's real, and it is legit, and some of the bullying online is simply kids that are trying to, just like all kids, experiment about what's acceptable to say and when is it acceptable to say. And bullying used to be, it happened at school or wherever you were during the day, and then you left that place and you came home. Well, it's not that way anymore because there's technology in your homes. And so a kid has an embarrassing moment at school and they come home and it's over for the day. Well, that's not the case anymore. It could be on social media, someone could be talking to them about it. And so that point of mentoring with your kids, asking your kids, how was your day? Is there anybody online that's like kind of strange? Or do you follow this person online? Or and feeling the freedom to say, hey, I'm going to look on your DMs, your direct messages on your apps. I'm going to look at this stuff. It can become a problem quickly. And so your kids knowing that they can talk to you about it, the maturity is knowing when to ask for help. And also checking to make sure your kid's not the one that's being the bully. There could be a kid at school that's mean and they want to try it out and see what it's like to say something to someone online. So whatever side your kid lands on as being the bully or being the one bullying, having those conversations can help nip that in the bud before it gets too far, or if they hear about it happening to another kid. As a parent, feel the freedom and the responsibility to speak up and to talk to other parents as needed. I would really want to know if it was my kid, when it is my kid. You all feel the freedom to tell me. Emily, you need to have a conversation. Whatever side they fall on. So you guys are loved and prayed for, and you are equipped, and you are called to be the parents of the children that are in your home, and you are a good parent. And so any way that we can help you, we do at our house. We're pretty passionate about the tech stuff. It is something that we've been talking with parents about pretty much since we were in college, so feel free to ask or reach out if we can help you with anything. Okay, Scott, you
want to
pray for us?
Sure. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to get together and just talk about what it looks like to raise kids in the time we're living in. I'm so grateful for the honor and the privilege of doing so, and I know that you have placed inside of us everything that we need to be able to do that, and I lift this group up to you and these kids that you've entrusted into us, unto us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes.
No, it's quite so good. I just wanted to share. Mom's Wisconsin has a.